Euzubillahimineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. İnnallahu melaikatuhu yusallun ala'n-nebi. Ya eyyühellezine amenu sallu aleyhi ve sellimu teslima. Allahumma salli ala seyyidina Muhammedin ve alihi sahbihi ve alihi ve sellem. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مهد الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله الفضل أما بعد دروشي پڑھنا
at least read Durood Sharif three times minimum. We are grateful to Allah. We are extremely grateful to Allah. It's Allah's extreme bounty, favor, blessings, and such a great night, which is the night of forgiveness, the night of salvation. Allah's special rewards, favors descend on this night. And after this night, the day to come, Sayyidul Ayyam, the greatest day. All forgiveness upon forgiveness. Allah's big favor upon us that in the state of Iman, with belief, Allah's given us this night. Allah says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more we are grateful for Allah's favors on us, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase and multiply His bounty on us. But close to us, ni'mas, favors, we have a different definition and criterion. We consider that thing a favor, a bounty, through which we get the current, worldly benefit, advantage. Then we think that's a great favor, blessing. But, what is permanent related to the hereafter, then we go down. We deflate. If you compare, then that is the great ni'mah for the hereafter. Reason being, just like this night, tonight, in comparison to this night, if all of the dunya were put it to one side, compared to this night, then we cannot be grateful just for this one night of Jummah. Because dunya is going to be finished. End. It will be eliminated. It will disappear, vanish. But this night, what we earn, the good deeds, will be forevermore. So they'll be deposited into the balance of the hereafter. The whole life of we are living is connected to this. Every single breath of our life, every single breath of life is for this purpose, reason, that we are more focused towards dunya, or are we more focused towards the hereafter? We have to keep on asking ourselves this question. Very quickly we go off track, get deviated and distracted, because the situation of the life is very weird. Look, every day I depart from home and I come to the masjid, the house of Allah. 5 minutes it takes me. May not longer than that. 5 minutes. Normally I come in the car, by the way. So it's quicker. And my colleagues help bringing me to the masjid, the help. So then I am saved from walking. So this 5 minutes, coming to the masjid, I leave home, and I leave home for the masjid, Allah's home, and the attempt is that I get the salah with jama'ah, congregation, pray salah. And this 5 minutes journey to the masjid, it's regular, that I'm just telling you practically, and it probably happens with you as well, is that as soon as we sit in the car, and we move ahead, and we see a sign, road closed, construction work going on. Oh, we're gone, we're finished, how are we going to get there? Look here, left and right, what should we do? And then takes a side street, and then we turn into that road. When we go towards that road, we see not one, a car has blocked that road, that street, that pathway. And then we can't go beyond there. So practically, I'm giving an example. So now the heart starts beating faster, the salah is going. going to miss salah. So your emotions take a turn. And then I feel a bit anxious. I said, why don't you turn here or go there towards the main road? He said, okay, yeah, that's fine. And then he turns towards the main road. And when he gets to the main road, then there's a traffic, there's a jam because it's rush hour. And then after that, we go there and there's traffic, the light comes, and then we're stuck at the traffic light. And then we get stuck. I said that go to this side, go to that side from this route. There's another side road that comes out from there, and we'll go beyond there so that we can quickly get to the destination. Then he tries again, then he takes another side road. And how long is this journey? 5 minutes. And then when we get to that road, by chance, this always gives a solution. I think even the people of taxi, normal people, that they stop the car there because no one else is going to drive down there. But you can park the car to the side then. Then we're stuck there again. Very difficult it's become now. What should we do now? Then we turn around again. We go from another street. Yeah? And when we go from that street, then another street comes. And then we go straight there through the crossroads, alhamdulillah. Then there's not enough rush there. Not a lot of rush there. And then we went quickly, took the turn, and the first rakat had gone. So how many minutes did this situation unfold? 5 minutes. Our destination went further. We made a decision, we'll get jama'ah, and we'll come there. Just 5 minutes journey. So I ask a question to myself, that in that 5 minutes, these are the circumstances, the turns our life takes. Just 5 minutes, nothing else. Think about the whole life, 70 years, 80 years, when we'll spend in this world. 70 years, 80 years, we're staying in this world. And this 5 minutes, the experiences, how they went, they fluctuated, what happened to me, the experiences, up and down. So in that 5 minutes, it's sweating, upset, no patience, no, the circumstances are changing, left and right, because I can't get to where I wanted to, or couldn't attain what I wanted to attain, I couldn't get to the destination. Do you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't get to where I wanted to in that time. So this life of ours, that was 5 minutes example, then how can me and you expect that, can we hope that in 70 years, 60 years, 80 years of life, that without any problems or issues we will have this life? Question mark. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a 5 minutes journey, and in between you can say, then for example, let's say you're going to work 10 minutes, and there's so much anxiety, I've got to get there, there are obstacles, restrictions on the way, there's issues on the way, just 5 minutes to get to the office or get to work. So I was thinking that 70 years, 80 years, 60 years of life, will it just pass smoothly? So what we realize is that just like Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran Hakim, that full, this world is full of problems and issues. And that is a foolish person who considers that I will get peace and comfort through everything in life. Or if I do this action, then I'll get comfort and peace. Or maybe due to this, if I do this action, then I'll get more comfort and peace of mind. Foolish person is that person. And look at the difference here, the dunya. This run that we're running after. Because the dunya Allah has made in such a way, this is a darul amal, a place of action. And in this world, the person looking for peace, comfort, and luxury is the biggest foolishness, act of foolishness. That I don't want no problems in life, no issues, no worries, total relaxation. Because everyone's life is full of problems. Societal problems, house problems, sickness problems, health-related issues, children issues, job-related issues, friend relations, problems. The life is full of issues and distractions and problems. So how do we pass this life and go through those ups and downs is the question. This is the question. This is the test. And with regards to this, apart from the Quran, no one can tell us that how we should live the life. The biggest philosophers may come, ideologies might come, organizations might come, science and technology and research may come, but nothing, no one, none of these can solve this problem. And if the problem is going to be solved, then it will be solved from the Kitab of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ. Look, what a beautiful method Allah is explaining to us in a nice manner and style. وَاسْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعِدُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. that this life in this world, the way you want to spend it and pass it, 5 minutes you're sweating trying to get to the masjid, so you cannot pass this life nicely, you'll get distracted, deviated. I'll give you the solution to all of these problems. Allah Ta'ala says that your life will become easy and beautiful and comfortable. What is that? Wasbir. Fa inna Allah. And Allah said this on top. Allah says, the ajrul muhsinin I'll give you. It's a short verse, but the whole life, the solution is provided by Allah. This problem is solved. Problem is solved. So it doesn't matter how many problems are coming in the life. I'm telling you, they come. We'll face them. How do we solve them? We, all our issues, problems, we try to solve them. That to get rid of them, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do to get rid of the problems. That, yeah, we just follow our own solutions. That today, I want to solve this problem today. And to solve that problem, what do we do? That this is where a person then loses the focus. And this is where he gets, you could say, comes off the track of the solution. Because when a person is not getting what he wants, and he can't attain what he wants, then that emotion that comes into him, there are two things that generate, is loss and losing hope. Grief and losing hope. When a person goes into grief and losing hope, then he becomes prepared to do everything to get what he wants. When he has got grief and loss in hope, then he'll murder, he'll oppress, he'll fight, quarrel, argue, do fasad. He'll say, I need this now, I need to attain this solution right now. And you know, he will spoil all the manners of akhlaq and conduct and manners. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the solution that Allah has given is that don't go towards grief and losing hope and giving up. Allah says, wasbir. That when any problem confronts you, difficulties, issues, sorrows at home, outside, sicknesses, they are going to come to solve them. There's only one way, that you cannot solve these because they are here. And there's one method you can use to solve the issue, wasbir. You should have sabr. Be patient. Be patient. Endure. Be patient over that circumstance. What does it mean, be patient? What does that mean? Endure. We think that patience is become silent. That's it. Just be quiet. Sabr means, to be patient means, that path that you've adopted to attain that distress, that issue, to overcome it, that problem, fighting, quarreling, facade, argumentation, then consider from Allah, this event has come. Allah has put me into this situation. Otherwise He would never put me in this situation. Why has He put me in this? For what reason? This is not my problem. Because Allah has given me the test. The challenge is a challenge for me. A test. And this test has been put onto me. So now it doesn't matter how much loss I feel and grief. But I will not do the action against the deen to solve this. And the solution for this is istiqamah, steadfastness, to be firm on the deen. I will not leave the deen. There are many past solutions that will be given. Yeah, taking shortcut, compromise, do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. Thousands of paths shaitan will show to you. But all the paths of fasad, there's only one path that will be the right. Wasbir, that you should be firm on Allah's obedience, Allah's obedience, Allah's instruction, to obey Him, to follow Him on His ahkams, and don't break that. Subhanallah. Fa inna Allah, Allah says, remember that one time will come. Fa inna Allah, Allah says, la yudhi ajr al muhsinin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he who follows my instruction, follows my advice, never will I leave him alone or empty. I will be with him, Allah says. What a great solution. Why? Oh, we get afraid. We get a bit distraught. We get a bit stressed out. What's going to happen now? Oh, yeah, this is too hard. How can I solve this now? This and that. No worries. Any difficulty that confronts us in life, Allah says, no. Doesn't matter how big the circumstance, big challenge, big test comes on you. But don't take the wrong step, which is against the Sharia. Deen, don't reject the deen. Don't discard the deen. Allah's obedience, don't go beyond that. That path for you will become the worst path. And then what is after that? Direct, that path will take you to Jahannam. And the dunya will finish very quickly for sure. So why did that problem come to you in your life? Why is that situation arose in your life? Why did this happen? Why has it happened to us? It can happen to everyone. Everyone can be confronted. For example, you're on the journey, I'm coming on the road. Why is this road closed? Then why did that traffic, I'm out there. Why couldn't I go through that road there? Why is this happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that situation. But what we have to see is that now a person's on the journey of the dunya. Now I'll tell you. What do people do? Regularly they start swearing, abusing. They're driving, there's a restriction, if there's a hurdle, there's traffic, they'll start swearing first. They'll scream out to themselves, oh yaar, what's this nonsense? They start shouting and abusing. You can see that, you see people in the cars, vehicles, you are in a rush, you want to get somewhere, and you see the traffic stop, immediately a big swear will come out of the mouth. Big swear word. Is this the case or not? Abuse. So this is totally the similar example. From here we realize about a person's capacity. Same way in the life, if a problem comes, suddenly a situation arises, because our attitude is not Islamic. So what we should do at that time is that don't talk nonsense, don't do silly actions to solve the problem. No, Allah says no. Observe, assess, turn towards the deen. Allah's deen. And don't discard or reject the path of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you deen. It's a complete deen. And take the solution out of that for your sickness, distress, home problems, family problems. That our deen, what does it tell us? What's the solution? Yes. Most definitely what Allah ta'ala has said, ajral, fa inna Allah ajral muhsineen. That in here, distress will come, sorrows will come, stress will come, depression will come. For example, a person in the car is stuck, he wants to get somewhere, his car slows down, there was this path, then I come off. What's happened? I could have come in the car. Why have you blocked the way? Aren't you ashamed? And, you know, put your car to the side. Yes, you could do that, isn't it? That's the solution. And then, he could have listened, maybe an argument would have started there, or a fight, but no. What's the principle? Then stay silent and be patient at that time. Wait, bear it. Persevere, that's it. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala created that scenario that if I want to go to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah congregation, these hurdles on the way, restriction, Allah is watching that, a test of them when I arrive there, one rakah has passed, I get the complete thawab, the reward. Yes, because Allah Ta'ala wanted to test and challenge me. And what was my test? That this man, if he wasn't rude on the way, and he didn't break the Sharia, as I said to you, every breath formulates the deen for us. Every breath. It's a very minor example I've given to you, of course. A daily life example. Very small example, if you pay attention to it. But that 5 minutes during that time, so many sins and wrongs I was saved from, didn't do wrong actions, because if I follow the principles of deen, you know, anger, patience, start reciting tasbih, start doing astaghfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, ask Allah to remove the hurdle, look towards my sins. Allah, is due to my sins this has happened. Maybe I didn't do the right dua in the night. Maybe my wudu wasn't correct. So he starts thinking everything for the hereafter. So this pattern of life for a human being, this is the true pattern of life. Reaction and assessing what's going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim, in the noble Quran, has given us many examples, great examples for us to learn from. Today is the night of Jummah, Surah Kaf, we recite Jummah, so there's an event in Surah Kaf. You should read on Jummah. It's stated that the insan recites Surah Kaf on Jummah, and he is saved from the fitna of Dajjal. So the pious elders of the deen have said that why shouldn't you recite this every day then, Surah Kaf? That the normal fitnas of life, daily up and downs, Allah will save us from the daily fitnas, the daily discord and confusion, corruption in this 10 minutes of reciting the surah. What a great wazifa. Great lesson. All the problems of your life, fitna, discord, disharmony, rejection. If you make a habit of reciting Surah Kaf, why are we waiting for Dajjal? That every day there are fitnas surrounding us in our life. So in this surah, Allah has put a special light. Yeah, it's a tablet. It's a solution. Every day we can read it, recite it. 10 minutes it takes to recite Surah Kaf. So if Allah gives you a test, a challenge of religious, your deen, or a worldly issue, societal issue, then in Surah Kaf, you will have probably read this event, Surah Kaf, that some good people, friends of Allah, pious people, and you could say the king came who had no deen, the ruler, and he started to kufr, shirk, and they were believers in Allah, these pious good people. And then they were threatened that we will kill you and hang you in the noose. So they then didn't get scared, afraid. They didn't get afraid. They just, you could say, embarked on a journey and went to a mountain. They said, here we will take refuge, that we're not going to believe in shirk and follow shirk and disbelief. Because there were two paths. Oh, the king said we should follow him and listen to his rule. What can we do? That many excuses a person takes out. We're living in the dunya, we should do this, we're forced to do this, or we take interest, otherwise how can we run our business, how can we run our homes? Look at the examples I'm giving to you. So those people, Allah Ta'ala has given us these examples so we can understand. So they went to the mountain. Then Allah, the promise He gave, that 300 years in that cave they slept. 300 years Allah kept them in that cave and they slept. And after 300 years they thought that we just went to sleep and we just got up straight away. They didn't realize. And with them, there was a dog who used to travel with them. He used to also travel with them. And he said, I'm not going to leave my owner, the dog. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also that dog Allah has mentioned in the Quran. It's a beautiful point here. The Mufassirin, the commentators have said, that imagine here for a while, that the dog najis, impure animal, and is mentioned in the talawah, the recitation in the Quran that we read. Allah ta'ala has given a big status to that dog. For which reason? Because those friends of Allah, those people, they didn't leave the dog and the dog didn't leave them. It was connected. The dog didn't leave the company and he also traveled and went into the cave with them. That these are my owners, I'm not going to leave my owners, the dog thought. So this point, the commentator said that a dog, he doesn't leave the company of a friend of Allah. He didn't move from that. So the human being who sits in the company of the Wali Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention that person with those, he will treat them, that person with those awliya Allah. So this is the point of sohbat, connection. I've read this myself in the lugha and the tafsir. That's a true point. Good point. What a great reward Allah ta'ala has given to that dog. So the awliya Allah, pious people, their company is a great, great treasure and gift. It's a great shelter, protection for a human being to be in the company of the friends of Allah. So then, this is the example that was given. That istiqamat, steadfastness, they stuck to the steadfastness. But 300 years after that, even then Allah Ta'ala protected them. And then Allah took them out of the cave and Allah protected them. Gave them safety. So Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his blessed life, if we look at it, in his whole life, there are examples for us. So we, so quickly we get deviated, distracted in this dunya due to issues. When a person is confronted with problems, difficulties, negatives, wasbir, then don't go against the sharia. Don't take footsteps against the deen, out of the circle of Islam. And a full belief in Allah, because that's the greatest thing. That as long as insan, the human being, if he doesn't have full belief in Allah, that the more you have belief in Allah, tawakkal, reliance on Allah, then more that you'll be firm and stuck to that principle. So to develop this emotion, awareness, the Quran has said, wasbir, the emotion of sabr, the practice of sabr, that I can't leave the path of deen. I am stuck, I'm firm on the deen, I won't leave the sunnah, I won't leave the sharia. Then no generation, change of time, era, country, region, continent will affect him. Only that color, whether he's in Medina, Makkah, Europe, wherever that person is. In every way or form, he'll stay in one form, one practice, one way. His life pattern is the one steadfast, straight. It doesn't change, fluctuate. His ibadah, his worship when Ramadan comes. Then obviously people change. But those people whose life pattern is deen, no difference is made for them, Ramadan or not Ramadan. The same with the way they wake up in the night, the suhoor time. They don't see any difference because they're living the life of deen. But those poor souls like me, who are temporary, then their pattern is fluctuating, changing. Ramadan, in the beginning, is very hard for them. The person gets anxious, afraid, I have to stay hungry, I've got to do this now, that person. But that person whose pattern and schedule of life is always the same, doesn't make any difference, doesn't matter, send him anywhere in the world, that person. Yes, he'll stay as a true friend of Allah, and because he's grabbed hold of the path of Allah, what a big difference. So this, to attain this status, Allah said, wasbir. Allah, you can't just do it by talking, getting reward, etc. It's not just by talking. It's not just by talking that you can get to this position. This is the thing that you have to do mujahida for, you have to work hard for, make effort for. So now to attain this maqam, this status, what's the first thing we need? That the human being should develop the ability not to be afraid, scared, oh, I'm finished, or this is what's going to happen, or, and he cries when he's sick, or I'm well, or problems come home. I'm giving the point, example of sabr. So the meaning of sabr doesn't mean that you just stay silent and give up, quiet, and there's sabr. This is not sabr. No. Sabr definition means that if you have fallen into a test, a challenge, then to make that apparent is not losing patience. You don't understand what I'm saying? For example, there's headache. I've got a headache. And for my headache, I'm pressing my head and I'm saying hi from my mouth and I'm taking the medicine. So this is all included in the sabr until I don't do a non-Islamic action to get the solution. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. Sabr isn't this, you just stay silent, sit down in the corner. No, you'll cry maybe. If you got pain, you will cry. If somebody dies, you will cry. Fitra is a nature, habit of man. Yes. And you'll use the medicine, and you'll go, physician, you'll say, oh, I've got pain, and the noise will come out. But that individual, he doesn't do any non-Islamic solution, non-Islamic method. For example, you've got a headache, pain. Okay, I'll tell you what to do. Oh, there's a Hindu sat there. Go there, he's got a mantra, he'll do a potion for you and he'll correct you, give you the solution. Oh yeah, do that for me. And he goes there. And he said, I want to correct my headache. So he's left the Sharia solution, Islamic solution. Understand the example I'm giving you? But there's an individual who says, no, I've got the headache, severe pain, and the Sharia solution, the path I'll adopt, I'll go to a Hakim, get some natural medicine, then rely on Allah Ta'ala if He solves it or not, I'm happy with that. I'm content with that. So with me in my life, I've had some incidents or events, something's happened in your life, in the society, your children, or wife, or your relations. So have some sabr. Same example, very easy way. Is that don't try to solve it with your desires. So this means to understand what sabr is. Sabr doesn't mean that you just stay silent and quiet. Yes, obviously you'll cry, you'll be distressed if you're hungry. Obviously you'll say that I'm hungry, I need some food, I'm upset. And then you'll also run to the solution. But the means, the circle, that don't go towards haram, unlawful actions. Allah Ta'ala's laws, don't leave them. Don't leave the deen. And you won't leave salah to go towards the solution. You won't use the haram methodology to get the solution. And within the circle, permissible circle of the boundary of deen is jais. Then after that, if, what's the next station of sabr, the next level of patience, is that after that, despite that, he has full reliance and trust, not on the worldly methods, medicine, or whatever he's doing to solve an issue, to solve his problem. No, he will adopt that, those measures, despite that, his real attention and focus will be towards tawakkal ala Allah, reliance and trust in Allah. You've gone to for an operation, and it's not against the principle of being sabir, patient. You've gone towards the medical solution, but after doing all the medical steps, tawakkaltu ila Allah. Tawakkal in Allah. If the action is right or wrong, the conclusion is positive, negative, sabr. This was Allah's choice, what can I do? Crying, screaming, complaining, making a fuss, this is against sabr. This is against sabr. So for this, my colleagues, to attain this maqam of sabr, what do we need first and foremost? After which the human being gets this emotion and gets this practice of sabr. The first thing is you need iman, belief, faith. Iman, the glory of Iman is that the mu'min, the believer, never falls into grief and becomes despondent and loses hope. Subhanallah. Mu'min never does that. The mu'min, the believer, never falls into grief and, you know, stricken. Doesn't matter how much his Iman is low, but he has this quality, the mu'min, that to the end point, extreme, he takes the assistance from Allah. And he never loses hope. He always say, Allah, I need Allah's help. Whenever, whatever occurs. So whoever has Iman, belief, and he will have this in his life that he can implement sabr, patience. He can demonstrate. He doesn't do it. Listen to this. So now compare that if somebody doesn't have Iman, yes, there are people who don't have Iman, and one person has Iman, the difference between the two is more than the gap between the heavens and earth to deal with a matter, to deal with an issue. Yes, person runs towards alcohol, music, I want to relax my mind, I want to forget everything. And the person who has Iman belief, he stops, goes towards, his direction goes towards Quran, du'as, prayers. I was reading the fiqh, and I can't remember the exact statement, but depression, mental homes, there are people who are mad, and it was assessed and analyzed. Those Islamic countries and those people who are non-Islamic, such a big difference that those who are Islamic in their countries, the whole country, the one city, one town, even 10 times, there are less, you can say 10 times less mental homes. The one town, you can take the whole country. What's the reason? Because in there they have Iman and belief, and for Iman Allah has put the quality of sabr and patience and endurance. And when you arouse that quality of sabr and patience inside you somehow, then they don't go into madness and depression. Then they turn to Allah when there's issues. Tawakkal Allah, reliance and trust in Allah. The mad, distressed, depressed person is that person when he considers there's no solution now. He reaches, those people go towards suicide who lose hope and give up. And they don't turn to Allah and don't rely on Allah. And despondence in Islam, losing hope, giving up, is takes a person towards kufr. Why? Because the mu'min, the believer, this is not his daraja, the believer, and giving up, losing hope, no way. He says, I have a Rabb, a Lord, who is looking after me, and he gives up, loses hope. Yes, do you understand the comparison? So those who don't believe, compared to those who believe, big difference. Their mental homes are full. Crazy people, depression, and antidepressants, injections, and tranquilizers. We call depression the sickness. And further, those who have Iman, the Islamic countries, the countries where there are people with Iman, the difference is that those who practice the deen with the Iman, then the difference between them and those who don't is like the heavens and the earth. Do you understand the difference? Because they have Iman, they have belief, and then those who don't have it, they cannot get to sabr. But that person who practically brings into practice Allah's ahkams, he follows Allah's orders, Allah's instructions, then he attains sabr. He perseveres and bears through the hardships, compared to those people who have no Iman, no belief. So now, the third group, you have that person who practices, who has Iman, yes? You have first those who don't have Iman, secondly you have that person who has Iman and who practices, and the third grade of person is that person who practices as well, who has Iman, and with practice, his heart, he keeps on cleaning his heart. Does tazkiyah, purification of the heart. And his daraja, his status, compared to the person who is just Iman and that person who doesn't run on, is more. Because he has sabr. And so when you have a higher grade of sabr, then alhamdulillah in his heart will be peace, and there will be less haram actions, his life will be comfortable, and in every situation he'll turn and submit to Allah. Every situation. So this point I'm saying is a little bit dry, but it's very beneficial what I'm saying. So pay attention and practice on this, what I'm saying. Millions of issues you'll be safe from them. Millions of sicknesses and issues you'll be safe from them. You'll be come out of fitna. You'll be saved from the fire of hell. Because Quran is telling us, wasbir fa inna Allah. This is Quran that is telling us the cure. It's not me. I'm not prescribing it. We have forgotten this point though. Yeah? We go, we take sleeping tablets and this antidepressant and this injection. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Consume this. And this is the real tablet, the real medicine. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Why? Because why have the people who do tazkiyah, why have they gone to the highest group? Why are they in the highest level from the three? What's the difference? Because of the fact, tazkiyah, purification, what that generates and develops is through muraqabah, what you generate through muraqabah and dhikr, adhkar, remembering Allah. What does that develop? What does this all generate? For which you do dhikr. This is why we do dhikr, muraqabah. Tazkiyah, purification. What does that give us? What does it result in? Our iman is strengthened and made strong. The sahaba, noble companions, this was their style. Whilst they're walking, they take each other's hand. Come, my brother, let's make our iman stronger. Let's become people of iman. And then that sahabi went and complained to the Holy Prophet and said, what's he mean that let's make our iman stronger? I've got iman. Rasulullah replied, he's correct. This is a hadith. That do dhikr of Allah, it increases and strengthens the iman of a believer. It refreshes the iman of a believer, dhikrullah. So when the individual does dhikr, when the believer does dhikrullah, which impacts his heart directly, and the heart directly is connected to iman, faith, then his iman starts to multiply, get stronger and higher. And the more the iman becomes strong and solid, the more the iman becomes stronger and solid, then that will just make you do one action. The strong iman is that will drag you back towards Allah. It will drag you back towards the path of Allah, the deen of Allah. And Allah's orders and instructions, you will embark on practicing them, implementing them. That thing that makes it hard for us to practice, living haram is hard for us. All of that is the solution is just due to the strength of iman will give us the solution. This is the reason why a human being, his iman gets weak, and then the passions overtake him, and the jazba of no deen, he'll pray salah, do haram actions. He will pray nafil, he'll do haram actions. He will recite Quran and he will do shaitani, devilish actions, he'll do zina with the eyes, he will lie, he'll commit fraud, love of the dunya, he'll stop praying salah, he'll do salah qada, delay salah, leave salah. What's the reason for all of this? Because iman has gone down, weak. And my colleagues, such a great ni'mah to strengthen iman. How we are wasting our belief. Think for yourself. Just for this reason, that we have not understood the point that we're discussing. That thousands of philosophies will discuss and read and assess, but we don't come towards iman and what can strengthen our iman. Every action that we adopt and start, and but we do it for the sake of, okay, I'll get some thawab. But we don't come towards the real, you could say, root cause. Why are we acting, doing this action? What will Allah give to us by when we do this action? Person doesn't get to that point till his niyyah is not correct. That why am I doing this action? So what's the conclusion then? The consequence comes back. The conclusion comes back again. The Sufis, the action they do in the khankas, that is the real work of the deen. Without any showing off or announcement, I'm saying this. Today, if I had not gone to Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, I'm worse than you. Worse than you. But that feeling of iman I would never have generated and attained if I did that I acquired by going to his company, sitting in his blessed company and listening to his blessed words. And I had a passion to do amal. And I had my deen was reignited, you could say. I had sabr. And I understood and differentiated between good and bad. This is a great result that you can differentiate between dark and light, good and bad, genuine and fake. You can distinguish that is this the fake path or is this the right path? Is this the correct path or is this the wrong path? It's a great result to get to through the company of the great Sheikh. So if the human being can learn this, then his life becomes very easy on any maqam, any situation, whenever he practices business or anything he wants to do. His standard will become one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will he become happy with? He won't see here that I'm getting more benefit here, I'm getting more profit here, more alamas goods in the world. He doesn't look towards that. Rather, he looks that Allah's radha, pleasure. How can I attain more Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? From what actions, from which path? But this you get at that time, this feeling overtakes you when the person's iman is very strong. The dhikr of Allah, the people have understood, why do we do dhikr? The people who do dhikr, that this is some cult, this is some ibadah, you just sit down and do ibadah. This is a very in-depth practice, dhikrullah. In-depth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give so much importance to dhikrullah in the Quran for no reason. Allah ta'ala didn't say, do my dhikr, remember me. Allah ta'ala just say, I want you to remember me. Allah ta'ala always encourages us to do those actions that will give benefit to us, ourselves, personally. What benefit is Allah getting from our dhikr? None. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, my colleagues, we should think on this point here. That such a life, if I live and I die like the dogs and the cats, and that's all I've attained. Oh, my iman, I strengthen it. My iman, I make it precious, so I get that taste and satisfaction when the problem arises. That every problem, we should not feel any anxiety, fear, that whatever situation we're passing through, always have tawakkal ala Allah. Reliance and trust in Allah. Reliance and trust. Turn to Allah. I did this, I did it right. And remember another point of iman I'll share with you. And this is also from the Quran I'm telling you. That many things are made apparent in your life, visible, you think they're good. But in reality, they're not that good for you. Many things in your life are made apparent, visible, we think they're bad, but in reality they're good, because Allah Ta'ala knows and likes that. So, anything in your life, which, for example, is taken from you, and you think is good, then we start complaining and crying. But when we have iman, strong iman, then the insan, he is connected to Allah, he says, Alhamdulillah, what have happened? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's the right decision what happened. The right conclusion came about. But those who have weak iman on that decision, they run away. No, yaar, I can't do this. Why did this happen? It shouldn't have happened like this. And they start making them, they're crying and they're thudding their chest. I want this to happen. I'd like this to happen. I want it this way. What should happen is that when any incident, event comes in your life, an example, ups or downs, then immediately our iman should be that strong that Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, there's good for me in this that I don't know what it's about, but Allah knows better than me. There's good in this for me. There's good in this. And I'm content. And I make that decision. Allah's with me. I make the right decision. But see then if you get peace in your heart, contentment. So loss there is, maybe in the world. Sahih Bukhari, I will share an event with you. You will have heard this before. There was a family, and they had a servant. She was non-Muslim, worker, attendant. And they freed their attendant, their servant. In Sahih Bukhari, this hadith. And she said, "Where will I go now? I'm free, but I lived with you, I was with you, I was serving you. I'll stay with you, even though I'm free, I'll serve you. I don't want to go anywhere, I'll stay with you. I'd like to stay." They said, "Okay, fine." So then they said to the daughter, that take the daughter out, you know, wander around for an outing. So the attendant, the worker, took the daughter out, and she was wearing a very precious necklace, expensive. And there were maybe diamonds in that necklace or precious rubies. So the worker took the daughter out for, you know, an outing, just to go out. And then from Allah everything is coming, isn't it? So her necklace, it dropped onto the ground, the child, for some reason. And there was something that was flying. They saw on the ground that there's something, maybe meat, red on the ground. Maybe that bird or that creature descended down and took the necklace and went. It escaped. So that woman's very upset now that this has happened, true event. So she took the daughter back and they said, "Where's the necklace?" She said, "This is what happened." They said, "How can this be?" you stole this necklace. They accused her to this extent that with her so much dhulam oppression, they made her naked, that poor soul, that poor woman, looking and searching. They searched her. Lot of oppression, dhulam they did against her. And she's saying, I didn't do this, I didn't steal the necklace, why should I do this? I'm your servant, I've worked with you for many years. They said, no, you did this, stole it, and they couldn't find the necklace even though they searched her. Then they said, where did you take our daughter? Come, let's go there. So they took the daughter there. They said, I came here, we came wandering around here, we were walking around here. And by chance, see what happens. I'm telling you that what a great lesson is coming if we learn from this lesson. Wasbir, this is the lesson, the sabak of wasbir. That how circumstances can turn for the good. Everything comes from Allah. Everything. These are not stories. This happened, that happened. If I'd done this, that would happen. If I didn't do this, I got a cold. If I didn't do this, I wouldn't have had a cold. I wouldn't have got sick. Or that car, if I didn't go there, this would have happened. Nothing at all. The event that takes place, wasbir, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no point crying and complaining and fussing. That means we don't have iman. We are wasting the thawab. Ajr. Allah says, I give you the ajr to the muhsin, and you are wasting the ajr, that reward. Here, on this point, I remember an example Hazrat Sahib explained himself. That, and he, Hazrat Sahib said himself, that there was a sheikh in the Qadri silsila, Qadri order. And he said, that's a person stole something. And he wrote to his sheikh that my teacher, a burglary took place. And he gave a reply that, beware you, how do you, don't say anything bad to the thief that he stole or he took from my home or he burgled. Don't abuse, don't curse the thief. No need to say anything bad to the theft has taken place, it's happened. But don't say bad to the thief. Look at the status of the wali Allah. Why? Because his focus was that whatever happens, it comes from Allah. And even in this, there's some wisdom, some secret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this dunya, every moment Allah's put secrets, there's a reason behind what's happening. These aren't empty, these incidents and events. Like, today, why did I come? Why didn't I come to the ground in the morning? I went, I could have gone. Everything that happens, Allah says, there's ajr, reward, and you can get the punishment or the reward. You understand the point? Yes. So I'm talking about the walis of Allah. So, when he went there, what did he see? That same thing, that creature flew down and threw the necklace onto the ground. And look, they saw that everyone, she said, I told you, didn't I? The worker said, I didn't steal this necklace. And they were all ashamed at that time. This is a true event, hadith. All ashamed, all of them. So she said, I leave you now, I dislike you now, that family, she said to them, the worker. I'm leaving you now, I'm leaving your side now. Where do you go? Where will you go? They said. Straight she went to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed court. She got to the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there, look at the difference there. Soon as she went, she saw the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she brought iman, and she recited the kalima. Allah's Nabi says, Medina, outside Medina, there's a camp, that here you can live here. And she went to meet Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, and there this story was told to her. She's telling her own story that this happened to me. And then listen to the final statement what she said. What did she say to us, Aisha? She said that all of this event, incident happened with me, but today after bringing iman, I'm sat in front of you as a believer, and the solution that I took out, the servant was saying, the attendant, the worker, she said, the conclusion that I've drawn is that this event did not happen to me in my life. I wasn't laid bare and made and cursed and made blamed, and that necklace was not stolen, because that what I went through, the hardship, then today I would not be at this maqam that I'm sat in front of you as a Muslim, as a believer. And then she says, thousands of problems I can sacrifice, thousands of difficulties can come to me, but this is a very cheap transaction and bargain or example compared to what I've gone through. Result? Very light examples they could be, she said, compared to what I've been through because of tawakkal Allah. So if you get a loss or profit or downs or ups, the mu'min is that he doesn't go into grief, he doesn't lose hope, he doesn't give up. My Rabb, he ordained this, inshallah the situation will get better. If it doesn't, then there's good in that. Subhanallah. And whoever develops this awareness, what in human being that person must be. As Abdul Qadir Jalani Rahmatullah Alayhi, Ghaus Park. Very wealthy he was, he used to run, do business and trade. And their business and trade would run on Allah Ta'ala's decision. Yes, we, for example, you see some wealthy people who are rich, then that wealth, they weren't connected to their wealth, they weren't attached to their wealth, they didn't love their wealth, their heart was not connected to their wealth, Allah gave it to them. So one individual came and said, Hazrat, that you know that boat of yours was coming from somewhere, so much stock was in that boat of yours, that boat is drowned, it sunk, the boat, the boat is sunk. He said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. He was shocked, that person. You said very easily, you said Alhamdulillah. Me and you, what would we do? We'd probably take suicide if our stock sunk in the boat, in the ship coming across the channel. Yeah. So I said, Allah Ta'ala, he gives these incidents. After a few days, he realized that that was a lie. That person said a lie. It was a slander, and that boat is coming. The stock was coming. Then he came running back. Hazrat, I see forgiveness. There was a wrong news I gave to you. Your boat is there, mashallah, it's arriving with all the stock. And then he looked to him, he said, Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. He put his hands together, Hazrat, please tell me both times you said Alhamdulillah. What does this mean? In loss and in gain. Was that right or this one right? He said, both were correct. Both were correct. That when you said to me that my boat has sunk with the stock in it, then I said, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has put goodness in this for me. I don't know what fitna I would have had in that boat. So I'm grateful that that stock's gone. Allah's taken away from me. And when you said, I've got that stock back, I said, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's karam bounty sent it. Definitely there's benefit in it for me. So the job has gone. Oh, I've lost my job. What am I going to do? The job's gone. You lost the job. They made you redundant. No worries. These are all things there. All the things that are going to go. Just shake your hands from them. Dust your hands down. Allah's told you to go back. The more you run after them, then you'll seek the solution yourself. Yeah, you see the point here? So if you try to find the solution yourself, then it will go into loss for you. Why? Because you don't have iman and reliance on Allah. You don't have tazkiyah. You don't have dhikr adhkar. Otherwise, in the first moment, you would have said, Alhamdulillah, good riddance. Good riddance. Allah Ta'ala has taken the job from me. I'm not worried about this. Allah Ta'ala has made it apparent. I'm grateful to you, my Lord, that I can now focus on my job, my task. Understand what I'm saying? Is this sort of penetrating your hearts? Do you absorb this? But if you make apparent your desires and wants, that today I did the dua in the morning, maybe you'll remember this. What's that dua? That, oh Allah, your decision and selection is better than my desires. Please grant to me what is your selection, your choice. Were you there in the morning in the dua? That this dua I requested to Allah in the morning. Did you hear this? Tell me what a great dua this is. In the morning, maybe you didn't understand, but now you'll understand. That I did dua in the morning, is it to Allah? The maqam, Allah, give the maqam, the status, Allah. Give me this understanding, Allah. Your selection and choice is better than my desires. Allah, please grant to me, give to me based on your selection, your choice. If Allah ordains that, take mal from it, take the car from this person, take the money from this person. Or Allah, if Allah says, give him sickness, give him a heart attack, take his car away, give him a stroke. Or make him blind maybe, Allah will say. Allah's decision. Whose decision is this? Whose order is this? Selection. Allah's. What's my desire? One, health, money, wealth, car should run, children come to me in the morning, give salam to me, and my life should be comfortable. And when I go, my wife, she greets me, smiles at me, and she writes, sings songs to me, and make cooks for me, and have a nice wife. These are the life of desire. You won't get that. Hey, you'll get this in Jannah, my colleagues. Jannah. فَبِيَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That's there in the hereafter. That talk about the hereafter when you want these things. Hurum muqsarutum fil khayam. That's the hereafter, the hurs, the maidens. They'll be waiting for you to attain them. We're not trying. Here, the dirty hur, to attain the dirty hur in this world, what do we do? Give up everything in our life. Now, this is what I'm saying. Iman is weak, isn't it? Iman's weak. So this is in the khanka tarbiyah. The education. Otherwise, what need we have to go in front of Wali Allah, sit in the khanka, do a dhikr, adhkar, mashallah, pray salah, Quran, read Quran, you're doing your worship, listen to speeches, conference. What do we need? We need to go to khanka, sit in front of the sheikh, do dhikr. Why do we spend time there? Why do we need to do this? Khanka, you get the real iman, real belief in the khanka. The friend of Allah, the Wali Allah, on his prayer mat, from their feet, from their shoes, you can get that, from the dust on their shoes. I gave the example of the dog that he went with the pious believers into the cave. Allah, that he didn't leave their side. 300 years he slept with them as well. Allah Ta'ala even made the dog alive after 300 years. And they are mentioned in the Quran, and the dog is also mentioned in the Quran. Because he had the sobered, the company of the pious people. So the same with the believer who has the wali Allah. If the believer has sobered company with the wali Allah and takes his hand and makes the niyyah and has the right intention and works and implements according to his, and whatever objective he's got when he went to his company, he does that, then he becomes a very high grade, high level individual. Yes, so we say, why should I go and take bayah? What need do I have? Yeah, you have no need. You will realize in the hereafter, my friend, when they will be sat on the members and their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night, those who did mujahidah and had the shirk hadith, then you'll see the difference why you needed to go there and didn't need to go there. That what benefit you'd get from sitting in the company with wali Allah who follows their education, their teachings, and travel, and is with them in the journey of life, how strong their iman is, their yaqeen is strong. Everything is according to yaqeen, certainty. Not just like the munafiq hypocrites came to the Prophet ﷺ to test him out and to waste time. They got no benefit. Those who come to test and waste the time, they get no benefit. Remember one thing, always. This is iman. Believe. Every breath, Allah is aware of our every breath. Every thinking in our minds and our brain cells, Allah is aware. Me and you, what you're sat here thinking now. There's nothing that's hidden from Allah in your brains right now. So then why should we follow our desires and do fraud and cheat in our lives? Just leave all the paths and just follow one color, one way. So colleagues, brothers, the message is this. That in the life, to spend the life, circumstances will arise, ups and downs will come, difficulties will come. And through these issues, the solution isn't your desires. It's iman, belief, faith, faith. The more your faith is strong and solid, the more your iman is faith, your faith is strong and solid, what will you attain? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is the greatest protector, He is sufficient for us. You need to work hard for that. Rather than working hard on other solutions, work hard on this solution. Strengthen your iman, your belief. And the iman is strengthened through dhikrullah, in the company of the friends of Allah. Your iman is strengthened by sitting in the khanqa, not by talking. Don't waste time. You can waste the time. Your breaths are going down the drain. They'll go. You're wasting time. Your life is being wasted. And that life is a waste of time. That has no purpose, objective. If you have a purpose and objective of life, that's the greatest achievement. And you should have a purpose in life. Why are you living and breathing and moving? And if you have that basis of life, then you'll be successful. Tomorrow we have to die. Return to Allah. Not this, well, I don't need to do this, what's necessary, this is not necessary. There's no such practice in life that's not necessary. That we don't understand, or that Allah has given us salah, we know how to read Quran, we know how to do dhikr. We know how to read kitabs, books and tafsir. We know how to read tafsir. But we don't know how to acquire sabr. I guarantee this fact. I swear by Allah and say this. That the path, the solution you will get properly is through the method that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah Ta'ala has to make us understand this. It's tazkiyah, purification of the soul, that will give us this understanding. And mujahidah, working on wajahadu fina. The 4 or 5 days won't give us the result. Do this much tasbih. No. Take the company of a sheikh. You have to become his. Assign yourself over to him. And then waswasa, how will I succeed in life? My shop, my desires, I want to do what I feel like, want to do. This won't give you success. Rather, you'll get more opposition to your desires. For the company of the wali, this humble servant when he came. Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, when he sent me and said, the host dhikr. Did he say host dhikr or earn money and chapatis and make bread? How will I bring my children up to that thing? I was worried about this. Was I? What did he advise me? And many conditions Hazrat Sahib gave to me. Earn with your hands. Don't lie. Don't take interest, riba. Don't commit fraud, deceit. Thousands of restrictions, conditions, and host dhikr, establish dhikr, and teach dhikr, Hazrat Sahib said to me. And look after your murids, subhanallah, your students. All these instructions Hazrat Sahab, my Shaykh, gave to me. What a difficult duty. A Shaykh, a teacher, is giving to his student, his murid, that you have to do this. And that murid is dunyadar, in the world, all life long to attain dunya. He learnt education, 4-5 top high level universities, this university, that university, Manchester University, Europe, Punjab University. Tell me, just to get high grades, degrees, jobs. That's what I had. I'm just giving an example, my own example. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes examples, real examples in the world. But those who have understanding, who have wisdom, then through those examples they attain the lessons, they acquire the lessons, the followers. Tell me. So much a person's immersed in the dunya, surrounded by the dunya, drowned in the dunya, worldly material things, and the teacher's given him such a big task that leave the dunya, leave material things, and host dhikr and teach dhikr. My Shaykh said to me, can anyone out there for today, if this order is given to anyone, will he do that? No. Difficult. This is not the case. It's not impossible. So, even if, I just remember a poem at the moment that's coming to mind, that even if your heart melts to acquire the light, but you need a companion for the life. You need a companion for this journey of the life. Definitely. Everyone you can take as friends, but take the hand of the true believer and go far in that journey with that person. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That you could take the hand of friendship from anybody, but look further, far with the vision that you need a companion for this journey of life. You need definitely a friend in this journey of life, because you can't travel on this journey to the hereafter on your own. But that companion in this journey of life, to travel with that person, don't become passionate, suddenly I want this, I want this story. No, think, what decision are you making, which sheikh am I going to, what connection do I have with this person, and what do I need, what will I acquire from this teacher? You are on a very big mission when you go to a sheikh teacher. You have to leave the dunya and start on the journey to the hereafter. The example I'm giving to you of mine, that you have to leave this, my sheikh said, leave this dunya, totally detach yourself from the world, said my teacher. Now here, question mark, where will I eat from, drink from, earn from, how will I get wealth, how will I do this, I'll do that. Wasbir, Allah Ta'ala says. Have reliance and trust in Allah. Depend on Allah, who gives food to the spiders, insects, ants and the birds. Allah says, if you do my work of the deen, will I not give you sustenance and food? Without the degrees, I will give you food and sustenance, Allah says. But don't leave the work of the deen. I said, understand my Shaykh. Because the wali Allah has given me the instruction, and behind this is not the wali Allah who's speaking, Allah, our Lord, is speaking. When the wali Allah instructs, it's Allah speaking. He's guaranteeing to me. The wali Allah is saying with his blessed tongue that you won't die hungry, my Shaykh. That's his instruction. You will feed others. You will fill the stomachs of others. Thousands of people, millions of people, your money, your wealth, you will distribute in the world to other people on top of your teachings. So don't be upset. Don't look down. Don't give up. So this is wasbir. So today, if you say, I want to become a student, what's your shop? Oh, I can't leave riba. Interest is too hard for me to leave haram. I've taken that shop down, interest. What can I do? I can't give it up. Oh, no, I can't do this job. Or if he says, leave your trade business haram, will anyone leave it? The student? If the teacher says, you want to become Hazrat Sahib, teacher, you want to run a khanqah, subhanallah, mashallah. I'm talking practically with you. Practically. Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep the friendship with Allah, look at the life of the Sahaba, the noble companions. Look at the life of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. The truly awliya Allah, I speak about them. The darvish, the wali Allah who instructed me, look at his life, what was he himself? So great the wali of Allah, he was the friend of Allah, and he was the scholar of his time, that my Shaykh studied in the year 1900s, spent time in the Khan, Hazrat Rashid Ahmed Gangohi sahab, Hazrat Yahya sahab, Ramdari, and Hazrat Saranpuri, they were his teachers. My Shaykh was the student of these great walis, well, ate with them, studied with them. I'm talking about my Shaykh, my Hazrat Sahib. Golden era. Direct fares I'm getting, I got from him, and you are getting his fares from me directly. MashaAllah, all of their fares went to my sheikh and his fares came to me. And my fares you are taking, alhamdulillah. It's a succession, a chain. So is this a minor thing? A minor achievement? So great a connection you have from Hazrat Saharanpuri, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib to my sheikh, to me, to you. What a great connection. For what reason? What are you acquiring? In the life? And he had poverty in his life, hardship, my teacher. Why? Because his sheikh said, leave the dunya, leave material things, just teach Allah, Allah. He left everything. Ilm, knowledge stopped at that time. No madrasa, no earning, no taking money, no everything, no dunya from anyone. This is a very difficult thing to make a seat an alim down and say, you're not going to give a speech, oh scholar. You're not going to give a talk. Only the scholars know this, that you won't give a speech, you won't give a talk, just sit down and teach Allah's name. And then they start, as soon as they graduate from the Darul Uloom nowadays, they're quickly, I want a job in a masjid, I want to stand and recite the khutbah quickly. Yeah, wearing the jubba, the thawb. That's the desire. He's learned knowledge, the poor souls, they have that desire. Hazrat Taqi Sahib Rahm, Damat Barakatun, Munzullah said that when our tarbiyah began in the company of Hazrat Arifi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay, the first action he told me was what? He said, sit here 10 years, you're not going to teach, you're not going to give a speech, you're not going to give a talk, you're not going to have a group. 10 years he sat, Hazrat Taqi Sahib. And look at now, mashallah, his great effect. He's in front of you, you can see it. It's apparent. What dunya is a place that where his name is not known in the dunya? MashaAllah. Everywhere in the dunya he's known. This is tazkiyah. So this is the color, the effect you attain from the khanqa, the spiritual hospital. Sabr. Understand the meaning of sabr from masjids, talks, teaching hadith. What is sabr? You can learn. But where does it come from physically? It's from the khanqa. Just as Hazrat Lahori Sahib Rahmatullah said, that the people who make the sweets, they can make the sweets, the scholars, but they can't give you the taste. Who gives you the taste? So ilm, knowledge, technical points, the taste you acquire from the khanqa, from the sheikh, the wali Allah. Sabr, we used to learn sabr, so now we understand what is sabr. We realize. So in life, sabr comes into my life, your life. Forget about Wali Allah. A big maqam, you'll get the high status of Wali Allah. A high status of Wali Allah. Imam Hussein, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu, what did he have? What wealth did he have? Sabr he had. Patience. Wasta'inu bisabri was salah. This is it. They'll test him, they challenged him. But he went through all the challenges. You will pass eventually. If you have sabr, if you're patient, you endure the hardship. So this is the meaning. The maqam of sabr, patience, you've attained that, then you have no need for any help. Your maal goes, family go, children go. Everything goes. You have no difference will be made to you, your life. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You're just one thing. Your maal, I took it. If not today, tomorrow he's going to take it. Yes, my brothers, my colleagues, every Muslim has to pass through these tests. They're passing through them now and will have to pass through them. Jannah, paradise is not a minor thing. It is not a minor thing, Jannah, paradise, to attain it. Iman, if your iman is strong, tawakkal ala Allah, patience, hasbunallahu. You don't just keep repeating this. I don't just repeat this for the sake of it. Bring that kalima, absorb it into the heart. Hazrat Ghaus Pak, this is his khatam. Hazrat Pira Nabir, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jalalani, rahmatullahi, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. This is the verse that's attached to him. Strengthen your connection with the walis of Allah, our pious predecessors. That you are sending fares to them, blessings to them by reciting this Allah, asking Allah to send the reward, their fares comes. When you recite the khatam, you should know every kalima you're reciting and believe that Allah, please give me the benefit of this kalima. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Who is this connected to? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his dua, his kalima. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalim. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. This is his dua. Rabbi la tadarni fardan wa anta khairul warithin. Whose dua? Every prophet has a dua special attached to him. When Allah Ta'ala, he has sworn, so beloved are these kalimat to Allah, then the Quran, Allah has inserted these kalimas in the Quran. And Allah says, bring about the emotion, the passion of this kalima. You're not bored today, are you? This subject's a little bit maybe dry. Do you understand what I'm saying today? The people at the back, I think they're sleeping at the back. The dosing of these kalamat that we recite, the kalamat in dhikr, bring those kalamat into your heart, into your emotions. Allah, give me tawakkal, hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. I want to become yours as well, Allah. I want to rely on you. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. Allah, save me from the sin. Just like their sins you forgave, Allah, please take out my sins as well, Allah. Say that when you recite the kalama. So much darkness, you took him out from the stomach of the whale, the fish, from the darkness of the night. Allah, please do the same for me. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is the dua of my brother Yunus. Allah Ta'ala took him out of the darkness. Whoever recites this was also come out from the darkness. This is our beloved master. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghees. The Prophet ﷺ, this is his dua, personal dua. So these duas, kalamat, this is the khanqah gift you attain in the khanqah, in the spiritual hospital. Hazrat Sahib wrote these for me on paper, and he selected these kalamat and told me, instructed me that recite these kalamat and teach these to your students. Hazrat Sahib has written this and given this to me. I've got this in my possession. His teachings. No khalifa of Hazrat Sahib got this, alhamdulillah, the wazifa that Hazrat Sahib gave to me, this teaching. Maybe because I had to come to you, pious people, high status, Islamic people, I had to serve you. And I had to pick up your shoes, alhamdulillah. So Hazrat Sahib gave me, due to your sake, I got this permission. Otherwise, I wasn't capable of this. You are, mashallah, very capable, good people, pious. Then, mashallah, you have pulled me to your company, Naqshbandi Silsila Order, you've pulled it to your own country. Because you're pious. So I am grateful to you. I give you lots of du'as, all my colleagues. If it wasn't for you, I could not have succeeded today. But we should be appreciative of this. Value this. Do dhikr strongly, passionately, work hard. And attain these maqamat in your life. It said that I will become wali Allah. That's good, isn't it? If you become wali Allah. Yes? So you can attain the success in your grave. Every moment, me, you are giving a very small example. We have to go through the challenges of life. Every challenge, turn of life. The 5 minutes I give you an example of coming to the masjid. If you think about that example, that should I be angry and abused when I have problems, or should I have sabr here? The car's here, I have to pass through this traffic, roadblock. Oh, abuse, oh, get out of the way, this nonsense, rubbish, swear, and argue people, fight with people. No? But you should have sabr, patient. And endure, persevere through the right way. But Sharia, don't leave Sharia. Allah's deen and the boundary of his deen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mu'min never gives up, and nor does he go into grief. May Allah Ta'ala give to me as well. Allow me to be a good mu'min, a believer. May Allah allow me to be a good Muslim. And all the mu'min, the feelings, the passions of a mu'min, may Allah allow them to come into my life as well. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Okay, let's do some dhikrullah now.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شريف الأمين طه ياسين وحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه وأهل المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحسدنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صل ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.